Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpin. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a down the rabbit hole titled Above the Law, featuring David Wormez and Nathan Parker from Above.com. So today we talk about Above's origin story, what's currently going on at Above, and how Google's most recent updates are impacting domain parking and monetization. It's important stuff for anybody with a domain portfolio, and all that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trade platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domain names to make it quicker and easier. With over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions, including traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.uk, which is a marketplace for UK and co.uk domain names. And also, big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They have $5.com Fridays and $1.xyz Wednesdays every week, and $5 off all transfers in, no promo code required. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. So with that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. So let's jump down the rabbit hole. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is part of our Down the Rabbit Hole series. As we say here on Domain Sherpa, all roads lead to domains. And in the reverse, our work with domains has us venturing all the time into different areas and topics, some domain-related, some not, hence the jump down the rabbit hole. So we usually interview somebody, maybe a few people, dive into a current event or a topic that we want to talk about, and today is no different. Although for you domain maxis out there, you're going to be excited because we're going to keep it right down the fairway. We've got the one and only Dave Wormez and Nathan Parker from Above.com to talk about Above, the evolution of domain search, what's going on with them, and all that good stuff. But let me go ahead and introduce my guests and co-hosts. Over to my right, we got my boy Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, never gonna give Drew up, get Rick rolled. What's up, dude? How are you?
I am good. I'm a little tired coming off a Lenny Kravitz concert last night. Hell of a show. Not bad for an old buck above 60, but I'm doing good.
Yeah, hey, look, man, Lenny Kravitz. Big shout out to Lenny, man. You know, like, he's still taking his shirt off at 60 something, and he said he was getting the ladies crazy.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I will consider my life a success if I have, you know, 20-year-old women screaming and shouting and, you know, salivating over me when I take my shirt off at 61.
Yeah, that usually when they're screaming because you've taken your shirt off, it's not the same reason.
Listen, I believe in the barbell strategy, so I'll take either end of the barbell. Shouting out of fear or shouting out of desire, same, same.
Hey, whatever, man. It's all good. All right, cool, cool, cool. Well, let's keep it moving because now it's time to get to the special guest. We've got Below Drew, the one and only David Wormers, a.k.a. Above the Rim, a.k.a. Above and Beyond, a.k.a. Dave War Eagle, a.k.a. Dave War Moves. Get out the way. Get out the way, a.k.a. Dave Wormers Toast, which is actually how he told me to say it. Co-founder and CEO of Trellian, the parent company of Above.com. Been in the space since 1998 as an investor. 10 years later, released Above.com in 2008, almost 20 years ago. His vision, helping all investors maximize the return on domain assets while saving valuable time doing so. And since inception, monetized over 20 million domains, generating over 500 million in revenues. That number is probably light by now. That's probably even an old bio that I pulled from. Yeah. Welcome to the show, dude. I know it's late there. You're at the bar. Perfect. And
I didn't want to be here and all good. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Doing great, man. We're doing great. I'm really, really excited to have you guys on the show. How you living?
Oh, really good. But rather busy. Yeah, it's going on, which is quite good for us as well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk all about that stuff. And then last but certainly not least, below me, we got the one and only Nathan Parker, a.k.a. Nate Dogg, a.k.a. Nasty Nate, a.k.a. Nathan Peter Parker, because with great power comes great responsibility. General Manager of Marketplace and Brokerage at Above.com. Nathan, welcome to the show, man. What's happening?
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's great to be on the, you know, on the podcast with you guys today. So really excited.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Well, like I said, we are very, very excited. And big shout out to Jody as well. Jody Chamberlain. I don't have any AKAs, but, she's the one really who helped coordinate this. I mean, obviously we wanted to have you guys on for a bit and, always kind of trying to match schedules and time zones, 6 a.m. here, 8 p.m. there. Drew's the only one who's
it's hard with three different time zones. Yeah.
Definitely. That's really wild.
Jody, she's awesome.
Yeah. And we run into the same stuff too, getting Jen on the show. Shout out to Jen, by the way, Jen Sale. So Aussies unite. So let's dive right into it. So, Above is almost 20 years, since inception. And let's start kind of with what got you into the space, Dave, what got Nathan into the space, and then let's get into the stuff that people really want to hear about when we talk about, some of the Google updates and other things going on with you guys. So really, let's talk about that. So 1998, domain investing,
early on, but in those days, we were just registering domain names for potential use and, utilization for our own products and services. We did start to buy a few other domain names, hoping to do something with the traffic. But, in those days, there wasn't that much that you could do. There was no Google AdSense. There was no AdWords. There was nothing to really monetize. So all you were really doing is just redirecting domain names to another site if you didn't build out a content site for it. So, that sort of made things a little bit difficult. And we ended up dropping most of our really, really premium generic domain names in those days.
Were you primarily going after .com.au at that time, or are you going after .com?
It was always .com for us.
Okay.
Yeah, always .com. And it was $35 from memory for your network solutions renewals.
Yeah.
So it was starting to mount up with the cost in those days. We sort of took a little pause on that and started developing software and other, the keyword research tool, which sort of led us into domaining.
Very cool. And then Above effectively was born from that, right? Like where you developed.
Yeah, so we had a keyword tool called Keyword Discovery, and it was basically a search term database. So all of the searches that used to people did on search engines, we had the biggest data set, and quite a few of the domain investors were buying our search term data, correlating that with the .com, and then registering those domain names because they thought, these domain names will have traffic.
Okay.
And cool. One of his buyers happened to be someone I think everybody would know. Donnie and Sig were one of our biggest clients at the time, from Voodoo and Parked, and going back to too many other different parking companies. And we just couldn't figure out what they were doing with the domains, with the data. Found out where they were exhibiting. It was one of the original traffic shows. So we booked up a stand, got some pack sort of data ready. Turned up, had a look. Everybody was in the same space. We had no idea what domaining was or monetization. And we started selling the data packs. So overnight, we just basically sold like a couple of million dollars worth of data in one day, until I think it was Freddie Schrake, who told us, so why aren't you using the data for yourselves? And that's, and then he showed us, you know, this is exactly what you do, how you do it. So overnight, we registered a few hundred domain names, woke up, those few hundred domain names started to make parking revenues instantly. And the next day at the conference, we turned up, sat down at our booth, and people were going, oh, we need more of your data. We love it. Let's get, yeah, we'd like to buy some. And that's when we sort of responded and looked at them blankly and said, what data? We don't know what we're talking about.
Exactly. So
yeah, from that day on, we stopped selling the data, and
yeah, we're not the droids you're looking for. Yeah, that's awesome, man. And then for you, Nathan, when did you get into domaining through starting at Above, or were you into domaining and then came over? Like, how did that work?
Well, so initially I was working in music for 10 years, and then I went and worked in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to sell by selling CDs on the street with a pair of headphones and an iPod in the early 2000s. So I didn't know I could sell. So I then had an job interview with David. I didn't get the job, but they said, you know, hey, you know, we're still interested in hiring you.
That was for a different role. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. But yeah, so that happened. And then literally 12 months later, I got an email. Went and started working in another department for the business, covered first one of the brokers that was on paternity leave. And I think I sold like in 2 weeks, like 25 domains. And I was just like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, didn't really think much of it. And they're like, hey, do you want to do this full time? And, you know, here I am today.
Yeah. Dude, I love it. So I applied for the job, didn't get it, you know, but hey, all good. I actually love it.
We called him back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all, hey, you made an impression, you know what I mean? So,
hey, I always learned, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again.
Yeah, exactly. But no, hey, and it's also interesting about sort of finding where you fit. You know, I talk about this with Drew. I mean, you listen to Drew's origin story, and, you know, he was a seafood salesman, right? I mean,
I still didn't find where I fit.
And but I love it. And and you've had some sales recently. I think I've seen you posting, you know, just some big wins recently too, which is pretty cool. And you know, so let's talk about that then. I think that's a very good segue into what's currently happening. And I think what a lot of people would like to know too is, with all the Google, you know, the new Google update, and what is that doing to domain parking, what are the alternatives, and all that good stuff. So you guys tell us, that's your world. So we want to dive right into, let's dive into this Google update and what the impact is having.
Yeah, sure. So for those who probably, I'll give you a little background as to what's happening and why it's actually happening.
I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody who doesn't know what Above is. Now, obviously most of our audience is domain investors. They all know you, they all know Above. But we actually have, particularly in the last 2 years, acquired quite a large audience outside of the domain community, people that are in brands, people that are in, you know, the startup world and the venture capital world. And so let's just quickly touch on what is Above. And, you know, obviously from the context of this conversation, Above started out as a parking company, but it's evolved into many other things. So why don't you just give us a quick sort of rundown of what is Above, and then we could back into what's going on with parking and the story you were going to tell.
Yeah. So Above is a domain investment platform built for domain investors. It's basically helps you manage your domain portfolios. It does your core three main functionalities, which is your monetization, which is the traditional. It is a marketplace with a brokerage arm that Nathan heads up. And it's also a domain name registrar. So they're the three main facets of what domain, you know, holders require. They need registrations, they need monetizations, and they need a marketplace to sell their domain names. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, very basic, there's a lot to it, but yeah, it's built for domain investors that have, you know, decent sized portfolios, but we do work with, you know, even a single you know, domain owner.
Okay, that's interesting. So for the monetization piece, like on the marketplace, Do you guys syndicate out to, do you guys partner with sort of Afternic and MLS, or you guys have your own, or how does that work?
Yeah, so for the marketplace, we have our own. It's our own platform. We do allow our customers to work with any other platform as well. We're not an exclusive workshop. So if you want to use a different platform or a different marketplace, there's a easy to update the links where you can use. Yeah, but we do have a fairly robust marketplace with a very good commission structure for sales.
Very cool. I'm gonna make a note.
And so, for the monetization side, that's been always one of our big focus strings, because we do work with all the different parking platforms. If you're not aware of how the monetization works, there's two parts to it. There's your domain rotation side. So we rotate the traffic between all the different parking companies, identifying which parking platform pays the most for each individual traffic. So they're all competing against each other, which is the best thing about it. So you end up getting a lot more from every single one. And then on the other side, which is the Trillion side, which is the direct advertiser platform. And that's been growing since 2008. And that is a direct advertiser platform where people can buy traffic, domain traffic, and they compete with the parking companies.
Okay.
So it's a little like running a Google Ads campaign, but on the Trillion.com platform.
Got it. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. And the best thing about domain traffic is that it really converts well. So it's great for advertisers.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and then as far as where are you guys based physically? Are you guys pretty remote, or do you guys come into an office every day?
So we do have an office, a couple offices. Most of the people are based in Melbourne. We've got, I believe, 35 in Australia. It's about 75 globally.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
And then do you guys see each other like almost every day? Do you have to see Nathan roaming around the office then? Like,
well, I see Nathan most days.
Shirt off like
yes.
Lenny Kravitz or what?
He sees me walking up and down the street at the front of the office talking on the phone.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I see Nathan. The pacing.
No doubt. I love
closing
it.
Deals, which is awesome.
Right. Yeah. Cool. So how many names do you guys, do you have any idea ballpark on them in the marketplace? How many names you guys have listed?
Yeah, so we manage over a million domain names, which is on our platform. There's probably about 2 million on the marketplace. So there's a different way of listing it. You can actually just list the domain names without utilizing our name servers, or you can utilize our name servers and actually have our marketplace handle the sale for you as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. Yeah, we should have the conversation. The reason I was saying before about making a note, I don't know if we're partnered at all with DNX, with the new platform with Josh Reason that we, are invested in and working with, and it was effectively curating names from all the various marketplaces, including like,
sure. We're happy to work with other platforms. Yeah, always do.
Yeah, we'll have that conversation for sure. That's awesome.
To me. So,
love it. See, look at that, man. We're doing biz dev. Nathan's like, this is what we do. All right. Well, that's awesome. And I don't think I realized that you guys were as big as far as from a headcount perspective, too. And then that's obviously, but, pretty spread out since you've got your own parking platform. You're doing your own ad campaign, your own sort of advertising activity stuff. And,
I know different categories, different names, different types of traffic, but who are, let's say, the two, three best performing parking platforms today? Or let's say who were the best performing platforms, up until a month ago?
Well, there's only really three that I would sort of mention that, that are the traditional ones. One has sort of not done as well in the past as it used to. You can pretty much say, that Botus is, sort of leading the charge, Cedo being second, Parking Crew, being the third. And after that, you've got your small players, that are fairly, fairly small.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Botus and those guys. And, I think it was, so let's talk about then how things have trended.
Do you guys integrate also with like a Giant Panda, or is that just sort of more of a different style of parking?
No, it's the same parking. They do have a rotation option. So some of their customers are utilizing that. So we can work with them. But yeah, it's basically the same thing. The only difference is their focus is on keyword allocation and optimization, which the parking companies do as well. They just slightly
varying extents.
Yeah.
And then
work with them as well, but not as much.
Got it.
So, all right. Well, very cool. All right. Well, let's talk about that then. What's going on with parking? Because that's, everybody's either nervous or concerned or questioning or not.
I don't think it's anything new. Parking has been like traditional parking, which when I'm saying traditional parking, that's the Google-based monetization parking, has seen a drop in revenues for the last 5 years. So it's new. It's been on the decline. For quite some time. The problem is that there's two sides to Google. You've got your demand side and you have your supply side. The supply side is like the domain channel plus search and all of the other, the supply, the traffic, and the demand are the advertiser side, so people that are buying traffic. The problem with the whole monetization model was that domain arbitrage got into the game of things. And when you have the ability to generate a lot of revenues from domain arbitrage, for those who aren't familiar with domain arbitrage is, you buy traffic from one place and you send it to one of your domain names. Hopefully you're buying it for less than what Google is paying you for that. So when that is enabled, it has a tendency to correlate to lower quality of traffic, because lower quality is bought to the same domain name or a high paying keyword. And the advertisers were sort of feeling the lower conversions. So when that starts to happen, of course, the demand side, will they say, well, okay, we just can't
maintain softens
this. So they started paying less and less for that particular traffic. So that's why over the years, the traffic is always being paid, you've seen reduced in revenues. And then what happened in December and in January, they released a two-part rollout. The first part, 50%, was just a template change to the parked domain. So they actually made the parked template less click-friendly. So it didn't attract as many clicks. And that reduced a substantial amount of revenues and conversion in terms of clicks. So I think there were like the worst case scenario was like a 60% drop in revenues. After the template change. That is if you were only using Google Parking. So if you're only using Google Parking, you would have saw between 40 to 60% drop. So a substantial drop. Yeah, clearly. And that was just to do, again, to help safeguard their advertisers so they get better quality traffic. So reducing the arbitrage side, which, Google have a different platform and a product for that, which is called RSOC. And RSOC is utilized and encouraged to be used by the domain arbitrage players instead, which is more quality controls and has a lot more systems in place where Google can monitor and track that. So they still like domain traffic and the arbitrage, but they just wanted to be able to control it far better.
And the RSOC, just to clarify, is basically content-driven advertising. So it's correct. Basically assessing, okay, regardless of what the domain is, this is the let's say the focus of the content, and then putting ad placements that are relevant to the content in which it's contained.
Correct. Yeah. And the high focus is the ads themselves have to be extremely relevant to the content that you are sending the traffic to. So it gives you a lot more relevancy.
No incentives to click.
So it's become more of a, like a three-click type of a scenario rather than a usual two-click for a domain name, which you land your domain name, you see a few searches, a few keywords, you click one of the keywords, and then you see the Google ads. The last and the most recent change, which wasn't expected, but Google also announced in mid-February, that 19th of March, they're going to start rolling out and opting out all of the Google AdWords, ad advertisers from the domain traffic channel, and you'll have to opt back in. Now, human nature, I think we all understand that when somebody's opted out and you asked to be opted back in, I doubt that there'll be too many people that will opt back in.
There probably are niche advertisers who were really performing well with domain traffic, and they understood that that traffic was, you know, converting at a higher rate or whatever it might be, and they will opt in, but that's probably 5%, maybe 10%.
That's probably what we assume as well, unless they realize that their conversions are dropping. And if their conversions are dropping and that was the only change that they've made, they may then opt back in. So hopefully that also happens.
My uninformed, and I am literally, this is like, of all of the things that I feel like I have come to understand quite well in the domain industry, parking and the arbitrage business is really the place that I have never fully grasped. That's never really been my gig. To my own cost. I mean, I watched all my friends making.
We should talk
absolutely, absolutely bushels of money in parking and ARB and all this stuff. And I just was sitting there like, I don't know. I just know how to buy and sell. Uninformed view, it seems to me that a big part of the problem and a big part of where we're at right now is that basically the ARB business became, you know, from a holistic view, 98% of the entire domain parking market and let me just set the name server, set it, forget it. Classical domain parking became 2% or less. Is that a fair?
It's about a fair assessment. Yeah. It was $1 billion industry, the arbitrage side. Yeah. So definitely made headroads and but you know, they also were quite clear that, you know, moving to RSOC, we hope that they'll maintain those sort of revenues, but they just don't want it on the domain channel traffic.
Which
I think is great. So it's great for the domainers. Once it's all cleaned up, we are hoping that we will see the adoption rates come again. And then everybody won't be allowed back onto the domain channel. So that's going to be the plus side. So the final change with this rollout of being opted out, we're not 100% sure when exactly will be fully done, but we think it was like 10% was done on 19th of March. There's another one on the 14th of April, so coming up quite soon. And we suspect that the one in May that they're going to roll out is going to be the big one. So we're going to see this impact in May, to parking revenues from Google. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So effectively, then
it's your traditional parking company, and that's all you're doing. So it's actually they're all sort of scrambling to find alternative solutions to monetize their domain names, which is where Above comes into it. So for us, it's actually been a great thing. We're I think one of the only ones that are sort of geared to take this traffic and do something else with it that actually performs exceptionally well.
So let's talk about that, because that's where I'm most interested is, you know, I did completely miss the first, second and third wave of parking. And, it wasn't my thing. We can't all do everything. And so it's fine, but I do feel like parking has been in need of some form of evolution to better match the intent of the traffic with, you know, the end result that person was looking for, you know, in a much more sophisticated and modern way. Where does that leave us today? I mean, what are you working on? What's going on? Where are we going to go? Where's all the, you know, the one thing I can say, despite having not monetized my traffic effectively over the years, is that it is abundantly clear to me that the traffic, and you started out saying this earlier, or maybe it was Nathan, but traffic we get on these domains is extremely valuable. It's high intent. It
converts exceptionally.
It converts well, like I think 4 times higher than like just standard organic traffic coming through search. So what do we do with this? I mean, how do we communicate that the value of this traffic to the people that can benefit from it? Because I know I'm long-winded. It's in my nature, but I'm just trying to explain my uninformed view. Somebody who is like a potential customer of this, right? Like I've got a bunch of domains I got a whole bunch of traffic and now I got no home for it. Right. And so, that's not like keeping me up at night, because most 99.9% of my money comes from selling domains or acquiring domains for other people. But still, I kind of look at this in the exact same way I looked at domain brokerage. You know, I came into the industry full time 2008. Is that more or less when Above came around, right?
Yeah, 2008 Above launched. Yeah.
After that, I kind of remember. I think you even launched like in Vancouver at Traffic Vancouver or something. Is that possible?
I can't remember. Yeah,
I don't know.
That's for sure. Yeah,
I remember, because I remember meeting you the first time and rapping with you, because I had literally just lived in Australia a few years earlier.
Portfolio got too big, and for us to manage all of the domain names and to manage the different parking platforms and etc.
Yeah.
So we for our own portfolio.
Yeah.
We showed it to a couple of guys, and they said, that would be awesome. Please release it. That would be great.
So that's why it was built. At exactly that moment, literally, it was in Vancouver. Rick Latona was doing this auction. I had put a couple of domains that I had bought in the auction. You know, they didn't do that great. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, because at that time, Rick was the domain broker, right? You had Monty and you had Rick Latona, and that was pretty much it. And neither of them, you know, I love both these guys, but neither of them were really doing what I would today call domain brokerage. Nobody was really doing the research, justifying pricing. It was more like arbitrary pricing, go out, throw it out there, press releases. You know, it was a hack job.
It was early days in this, right?
100%. None of us were doing anything right at that time. So anyways, but what I understood, because I came from sales, that's all I've ever done in my entire life was sales, is that there was nobody actually truly playing matchmaker between these things that I knew were really valuable and could benefit the end users, and the end users that maybe didn't even know how much they would benefit from owning this thing. They had some arbitrary feeling of like, yeah, it'd be cool, or yeah, it'd make my email easier, but they didn't understand how to generate ROI. They didn't understand that there were tangible metrics to measure the value, to measure the benefit to their company, right? And so it was really that. It was me understanding, wow, something's got to give. There's no bridge between these two parties. There's folks with very, very valuable domain names, but then there was no communication to the outside world of people that could actually benefit from owning them and understanding how valuable they were. And so that was the genesis of me launching Media Options as a brokerage, because I was like, all right, I know how to do sales, and I think I'm starting to understand how to value these things. So let me go out there and try and, you know, play matchmaker. And to me,
I think the benefit is for us is that there is an easy way to qualify the traffic. And I know that Google, revenues are going to go down, but they're still not going to disappear altogether. There's still going to be a decent amount of revenues coming from Google. And the benefit is, it's like with our platform, we already are tapped into the direct advertisers. We have the direct advertisers, and they know it's valuable, and they want more of the traffic.
So the direct advertisers, I agree, right? Those are the people that actually do understand the value of that traffic. But the people who have Google in the middle, those people, it's all obfuscated. They don't understand how valuable this traffic is relative to other traffic. They just sort of look at it as traffic. Okay, organic traffic. And so I feel like that's the opportunity is somehow.
We are trying to educate the broader agencies, the marketing houses, all of the people that are doing the pay-per-click campaigns. So all of the traditional SEO, media digital agencies that run pay-per-click campaigns for clients. They're the ones that need to be educated, and we're already starting that process. So we're doing a lot of events and conferences in the agency space, in the digital marketing spaces, in the affiliate space. So I think we do more conferences under the Trillion brand banner than actually under Above. And Above actually does quite a lot as well. So I think we are on the right track in actually making sure that as many people know about this type of traffic as possible.
Very cool. What about site content and that kind of thing? I mean, do you guys have your own domain portfolio that you use for incubation or even monetization?
What do you mean by site content? So, yeah, most of the domain names, you know, that we monetize, there's no content. So it's either, you know, goes to a parked page or it redirects directly to the landing page of the advertiser. So it goes to the advertiser's page.
No content
required in this case. If you're creating and utilizing RSOC, then yes, there will be a single content page, you know, that you need to create.
Yeah, that because it's something that we're talking about internally. Like, this just goes back to what Drew was saying, right? We've got all these domains. And for us, we not only broker domains for third parties, but we have our own portfolio, right? So as we're trying to figure out what is the best way to monetize those domains, and it's, you know, whether it's pointing in, you know, is it a landing page? Is there a play to be made around? Then the parking piece comes into it. And it's like, well, how do you get to the valuable sort of traffic that then can get to an advertiser that's willing to really pay for it? So, you know.
Yeah, the benefit, I think, not the benefit, but for the people that are more focused on selling a domain name, I think the big concern for most is if nobody visits the domain name, they won't see the for sale link, or they won't see, you know, make an offer. So that may be reduced, but you'll probably notice that even when you look at your own stats, 99% of the visitors to a domain name are not interested in buying the domain name.
According to Frank Schilling, we talked about this on one of the a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I want to disagree with Frank on that point.
Right, so
that number was too high.
About the 20%? Yeah.
Yeah. Too high? There's no way that 20% of the people that visit a domain name are interested in the domain name.
Really? So you think? I mean, obviously, if it's a typo, that's not true. But if it's a generic, you don't think that that could be true?
20%? No.
That's interesting. I think that's a very interesting
thing. We don't test. So you can actually test it.
Okay.
So you can test how many offers you get. So even if you have a no blanket, like a minimum offer, so that you actually start to entertain offers, and then you remove that altogether, and how many offers you still get if there is a link, or if there's a manual link, and it's definitely not at that level.
Okay. I'd love to know. I'd love to know what that level is. I think that's an important number.
I think it also depends on the domain name. Like if it's like
100%.
The more traffic a domain gets, the lower the percentage that there are interests as well.
So I agree that too.
Yeah. So the higher traffic names are better to be monetized because they're the ones you know most of that isn't interested in buying a domain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is, yeah, one of the other benefits. And you can also now do, you know, like a split. Like you can still have your for sale page link and some, you know, ads on the actual page and do a bit of both. So you can do like a hybrid monetized page.
Mm-hmm.
How does so that also helps alleviate some of your concerns.
Yeah. Do you find that to be effective, sort of the hybrid?
You lose revenues on the monetization side, but you then are guaranteed not to lose any of your potential loads.
So when you see a domain, so looking at some of the names that are on above right now, right? And there's some great ones just in this initial little teaser sort of list on the premium brokered side, right? So you have tomorrow.com, late.com, cab.com, salons.com. So you see a name like Salons.
Yeah, I love tomorrow. How much is tomorrow.com? That's a great name.
How much do you want to pay? I'll sell it to you for 1.5.
I need margin. You know what I mean? How am I gonna buy my clothes?
I'm sure we can work out a deal.
Yeah, I'm sure I could. I'm sure we could work something out, mate. I'm sure we could.
All right, like that name. Great name.
Oh, it's a beautiful name. But so, like a name like Salons, Dave. You see that? Do you see an opportunity to sell that name, or do you see an opportunity to monetize that name through parking and ads and traffic?
You can do both. Yeah. And I think Salons is like a unique one. I think that has like a legacy website on it. Mm-hmm. But it is for sale. But it hasn't really been touched for like 20 years. Or I think if you look at the site, you'll probably realize, yeah, it looks like from 1990 something.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Whereas that domain is unique, but it could be monetized. Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is, you're right. It's like, it's 1990, whatever. I mean, this is definitely,
yeah, but so
I
guess, it hasn't been. That's,
well, cause that's the interesting thing. And I mean, even just from our standpoint, cause again, when
whereas a domain like Ting.com, that is parked, that, you know, that can be monetized. You know, that hasn't had a contact site.
Yeah. But even when, I guess what I'm saying, when you see a domain name without context, right? So, you know, someone comes to you with the name like cab.com, you know, do you see a name like that and think, man, we can monetize the crap out of this name? By monetize, I mean, do you see it and think, wow, the amount of traffic, the ad, like we can make money off of this name? Or do you see it as, oh, that's an, we see names more often than not, it's, that's an amazing name for buying, selling purposes, right? That's just kind of where our head is. You guys cover the whole spectrum, right? I guess I'm just curious, when a name comes onto your, like, into your sort of radar, right? Is your first thought like, hey, and is it name specific of like, oh, wow, this name could generate a ton of traffic. We can get a ton of revenue. I would love to be able to park this name or use it for traffic purposes. Or, hey, I can't wait to go out to market and let Nathan go and sell this domain. You know, how does that?
Well, it's a bit of both. it's definitely a bit of both. And I think, if it's a nice generic name, you're going to make more money from selling it than from monetizing it.
Okay. So it's a name-specific sort of category.
Although there are exceptions, but yes.
Because here's the thing. We've got, you know, 5,000-plus names in our portfolio. They are all for sale, technically. You know what I'm saying? Including
not all.
Well, hey, you saying that is actually pretty funny. You're the guy who's like, look, there's a price for everything. You'd say,
well, okay, I mean, effectively yes.
But I guess what I mean is that, but for us, so everything we look at is, hey, how are we going to sell this one, right? But the more that we talk about it, and this is kind of Drew's point about saying, hey, we kind of missed the first three waves of parking, the Frank Schilling domain tasting and the other, you know, and all the guys that it literally, you know, just drowning in money when it was in the heyday, but the gigs, the good old days in domaining are so, like, you know, like,
the good thing is there's still good old days to be had. So
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker, specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Yeah, yes. Tell us where you guys are, where are you going, where you at?
Yeah, so we've got two big things that have actually just happened. So we've just actually launched it today, believe it or not. So we've done an interesting thing with our registrar, which is we've converted to a cost price registration, renewal and transfer for all domain extensions. So rather than actually charging a margin on top, like every other.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the only ones that actually decided to go down the cost price point. And purely because, you know, like times are a bit harder for the monetization clients that have a large portfolio. We want to make it as easy for them to maintain their portfolio holdings. Yeah, so having anything that's just cost-based, it's going to help them substantially. And it doesn't really hurt us financially because, you know, registrar business has always been run on such a thin margin.
Yeah, it's a commodity. Yeah. It's a commodity.
Yeah. So for us, if anybody's looking to do cost price for everything, including renewals, above.com is the place to go for that.
All right, that's awesome. All right, cool. Let them know. All right, great. Yeah. And then you said
probably about the marketplace change.
Yeah, well, this has been 2 years we've been talking about it. And recently we sat down. And, well, the C-level sat down, and then I got an email saying, hey, we're going to move forward. So we're moving to a 3% commission model on our marketplace. So essentially what that's going to do for people is they're going to be able to manage their own sales through our marketplace, and it's only going to cost, like a 3% success fee, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So and it doesn't matter. Like, there is a minimum sale. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like, Do you have that?
It's $100 is a minimum sale value.
Okay. And then
it's self-serve. So like if you're managing your own sales and you just want to utilize a platform that does the transfer for you, that's what we do.
Minimum commission is $100 or minimum sale value is
$100? Sale value.
So on a $100 sale, you're making $3.
I think it's $20.
Because you probably lose $3 on credit card processing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So processing is,
And this is on leads that people bring in and close through the marketplace, or this is through passive purchases on the marketplace, or okay. And what about when you get involved, Nathan?
So when me or my team are involved, we charge. So it's 15%. So pretty standard, brokerage fee out there. So
yeah, we charge the same.
Yeah. So when we're working with the customer, and interest rises in the name, we will, have a chat with our client, understand, where's the floor sit? So we want to have, full circle visibility on, where's their bottom line? And obviously where's their, buy it now number, you could call. So we build our fee at, at the top and bottom, so that when we actually sell the name, essentially the seller's getting the number that we're actually quoting them.
Mm. Yeah.
And obviously, as a broker, we're always asking for more, right? Because the more money our client makes, the more money we make. So, everyone walks away happy.
Mutually incentivized, for sure. We say that 100%. A lot. All right. Well, that's awesome. So 3%. So that effectively covers almost like the escrow process then, right? If somebody brings a transaction, says, hey, I want to run it through you guys, you charge a flat 3%, then you guys handle the domain transfer as well as the transfer of funds to just make it easy for everybody.
Yeah. Now, and the domain has to be in your registrar, or it doesn't matter. It has to be on your name servers, or doesn't matter. What's the deal?
There's lower fees if it's on our registrar, because if we can do a push, rather than a change of registrant or a transfer, there's fewer costs.
Yeah.
We don't match that minimum $20, if it's on our registrar. If it's not on our registrar and you have to do a transfer, then usually there's always, a few days lag, depending on the registrar, of course. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's why there's a minimum fee for those ones.
Got it. Oh, very cool. Well, good stuff. I mean, all that is really customer friendly for sure. So, all good stuff.
And the best thing about our registrar, it is designed for domain holders. I mean, we have everything that's bulk focused. You can view all of your domain names on one page, 1,000 domains at a time, and it includes all of your traffic stats, all of your offers, historical offers that you've received on a domain name, including all of your parking and monetization stats as well. So it makes it very easy to renew a domain name.
Do you get the level of insights that we used to get on domain name sales or Uniregistry, where you really get all the data about the inbound lead, where are they, geolocation, possible associations, LinkedIn profiles, social profiles, all that shit?
Not as much of that, but we do give you full transparency of who the offer has come from. So we actually provide you the contact details, including the email.
The raw data. That's great. Makes no sense to me. I brought this up on our interview with Paul Nix at GoDaddy the other day. It makes no sense to me. You're going to be a marketplace. I'm your customer. I list my domains in your marketplace. And then you're not going to tell me who the freaking lead is? Sado was notorious for that. It was just like, guys, what are you doing? Yeah, they still are. Oh, I mean, they haven't changed a thing in 20 years. If you were in the middle of doing a transaction on Sado 20 years ago and you went into a coma and you woke up today, you think, no time passed.
That's true.
But anyways, I actually have very, very love. I have basically no love for Sado anymore, but I do love Dave. Dave, my man. Like Dave.
Dave Amundson, man. Big shout out to Dave and Brad. I mean, look, there's good people.
For the most part. So I think that's very valuable. I mean, it's my lead. You should be giving me the raw data. And then the only thing you should be doing is trying to enhance that data. If you can give me more insight, more connectable data. You know what I mean? The more information, you know, it's interesting because most people look at this as from an arbitrage situation, right? It's always like, well, you know, we're trying to maintain all the, you know, confidentiality. We're trying to maintain the data ourselves because we don't want you to make your rational decisions based on who the... And it's like, no, listen, the more transparency and the more data is available, the more likely it is that a deal gets closed. Because the thing that stands, the largest point of friction in any deal is uncertainty. If one of the parties in a deal is uncertain, doesn't matter. They're uncertain about who is the buyer. They're uncertain about who is the seller. They're uncertain about, is this the best price? Is this the lowest price? You know, any uncertainty in a deal is what prevents it from closing. And the moment that people feel confident, the moment that people feel informed, whether they are or not, deals close. You remove friction.
Yeah. The only drawback to that is that deals then can close on other platforms or direct. So you end up providing all the work and you don't actually get the sale through your platform. So
You're charging 3%.
It's okay. Yeah. When we're charging 10, yeah, your people did lose. Yeah, we did lose a few sales that way. But that's okay. If the person wants to do that, that's our policy. Go for it.
You know, it's kind of my opinion is like, if you spend your time trying to block and tackle the people that are trying to escape, you know, like, that's not a business. It's just, yeah, exactly. It's not worth bothering.
Then you're called Network Solutions.
Exactly.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. You talk about love. You know what I'm saying? It's all.
Well, we love you, Laurie.
Anything through there? Oh my goodness, that's been like an interesting experience.
Good. It's all good. All right. Doubling back really quick because the thing I was getting into before when I was asking you about when you see a domain come in and kind of how you view it. I mean, because our thing is like I was saying, we've got, you know, thousands of domains. We want to sell them all, but we also recognize that some of these are fantastic. I mean, we've got a lot of really good domains, so. You know, they have the potential to earn depending on the proper utilization, right? So, you know, I guess that's the thing. If you have some names come in, are you evaluating how you want to, you know, let the client dictate sort of what they want, but how much are you guys consulting on, hey, here's what you should be doing with this domain?
It really depends on the domain, of course, and the portfolio. So, yeah, we always to get our clients to send us their list of domain names so that we can actually upload them in into our system. Yeah, that does a lot of different things, clearly. Yeah, we try and map the keywords. We try and identify if we have an existing advertiser that's interested in that particular domain name. What the unknown is, when a domain name is just provided to us in a list form, we don't know how much traffic it has as yet. So we don't know what the value of that traffic is until we actually get that domain name on our name servers. Once we have it on our name servers, we can then actually start logging the traffic and we have a better idea, okay, this domain name is going to make X amount roughly, you know, for that traffic that it has, or it barely has any traffic, so there's very little value for the monetization side. So you might as well just be more focused on the sales side.
And then, okay, so then what about trying to generate traffic, right? So do you see a name and think, oh, hey, if this name...
is arbitrage. So, yeah. This is where we got into this problem in the first place.
Fair enough. Okay. I get it. So, but I think it's interesting because it's trying to figure out, you know, in this world of AI, right, where you can develop sites and, you know, it was an interesting conversation in Vegas with a couple of different folks that are trying to develop tooling around, hey, take a domain that's a good keyword, throw it into a tool that effectively builds a site that has all this relevant
this
content.
This is not new, JT. This is not new.
No, I know.
This many, many times.
I remember.
I make it cheaper and quicker, but at the end of the day, Google will still pick it up eventually. And
this is my opinion. I remember iteration one, Rick Latona, minisites.com or something like that.
That's quite a few.
Okay. Then you had Rob Monster. Then you had, every single platform that has attempted this so far has gotten, you know, not just failed, but like went down freaking like a Zeppelin burning in flames, like, and then took all the domains that were on it with it. And freaking, I mean, listen, I remember going out for Rob Monster's whatever that thing was called. But, you know, he had convinced us, oh, yeah, you go buy the .net, the .org, the blah, blah, you know, it's like kidsclothes.net. And they were going to put a little mini site or whatever he called it on there. And it was essentially, it was the same thing. Doesn't matter. AI just makes it faster and easier, like David said, but you're not changing anything. It's not creating something new. It's just recycling, a bunch of shit and creating relatively poor content. And then I don't think you're driving value. I mean, I think at the end of the day, business
there's no value. And SEO to these pages is even harder than ever before.
Because now you're in an ocean of messy, shitty AI-generated content.
Yeah.
It's a lot of noise.
And by the way, RSOC, that content page is AI-generated. And they are created nicely, so it is quite relevant. But that's how RSOC works as well. So you have your AI-generated content page.
And then, so RSOC, so talk to me real, because we've got about 10 minutes left, and then we're going to be at time. But the RSOC, so who generates that content? Is that Google generated, or is that done?
No. The actual owner of the domain name generates the content.
Got it. Okay. And what does RSOC stand for? Is it like ARSOC or something? What's the?
Yeah, RSOC, which is basically a relevant search for content.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. And then so really when you guys are looking at traffic, you're basing it off of how much traffic does the name generate, just the fact that the keyword itself is in demand to the general public on the internet searching for that particular keyword.
Right? Well, it's more focused on whether we have an advertiser that has that demand for it. If we don't have an advertiser for that for that keyword, we then try to find the advertiser.
Okay.
So that's where initiatives, we contact agencies. Hey, we notice you rep this particular brand. We know they buy this particular traffic. We have X amount of traffic that matches this particular advertiser. Yeah, it's going to cost you X amount on a CPC basis. Let's get an insertion order signed up.
Got it. Okay. Very interesting. So, and then as that's happening, then when you recognize that you've got an advertiser, so what do they do then with the name? The name goes to either at that point. So when you're middling this, right? Trying to match the advertiser with the traffic, with the name. Then is it a matter of trying to optimize how it'll work best for that advertiser?
Of course. Well, it's more to do with optimizing the price point. So we want to make sure that we can sell each traffic or each visitor for the most amount.
Right.
And that's the most of the optimization that actually happens, which is very unique in terms of you have the parking companies, they bid on the traffic. So they drive the price up a little bit. So that's the highest parking company that's paying the most sets like a benchmark. And then you have the advertiser having to pay above and beyond what the parking currently pays. So they then start bidding for it. And then if we have multiple advertisers for that same keyword, they then drive the price up more and more and more. So because they're bidding for the same traffic. So having bid density is very important. So we always want to make sure we have multiple advertisers for the same traffic so that they bid the price up.
Got it. Okay. And then on the name itself, though, in order to sort of call it maximize the traffic, is it then, how are the links and stuff being generated, or what's being generated?
It's all real time. So it becomes like a zero click. So you don't even see a link if it's being sent to the advertiser. So imagine
it just goes direct to a landing
browser,
page.
It redirects straight to a taxi company.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
To a specific offer that they've got that is relevant to that keyword.
Yeah. Awesome.
So the best domain names that perform really well are the brands. So there are well-established brands that buy domain traffic, which we have authority to utilize. And they're the ones that convert highly well because the brands know that that's what they're after. They know they'll convert. Then the next level are the keyword-rich domain names that have product value. Yeah, they're the ones that also then perform exceptionally well. After that, you've got your run of network, nonsensical type of domain names that you're really hard to figure out what the intent of the visitor is. You know, like if it's xyz.12345.xyz, how do you know what that intent is unless you have a looking at the actual visitor path? Did they come from a backlink? If they did, what was on the backlink, what was on the page, what content did that potential click see, trying to really figure out the intent of that visitor for every single one.
And the whole time Nathan's like, just let me go sell this dude.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, but we need to make sure that domain investors can pay for their renewals if they're not selling anything, right? So not every investor has great names. They may have some okay names or one really good one. Yeah, and they're always holding out for that best price and, you know, they try not to sell too quickly. So you need to make sure you can still pay for your renewals, right? So this is the best way to do it.
Yeah,
I say it all the time. You're never going to get the best price for any of your domains unless you can produce income on some of your domains. You got to, luckily we've got the brokerage business that has, provided sufficient income that I never really cared about selling my names except when people came to me to, make me an offer I can't refuse. But you got to have a source of income. Otherwise, you're going to get eaten alive and you're going to get, I think they call it, what do they call it? Larry? You're going to get larried. I don't know why they call it that, but I don't know either. But it's not an internal thing. I think they use it in markets. Like if you're not producing income and you just hold it out for growth, you're going to get larry because you're going to be forced to sell before the market turns up.
Well, I think
I don't know what it means.
Even hearing folks like Rick Schwartz and stuff talk about how domaining, you can't almost be a full time domainer just based off of your sales, at least until you get to a certain point. You almost need to be able to subsidize or your actual cost of living.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, many of our clients have full-time jobs on other things. They just this is like their part-time passion, and that's actually fine because when you have brokers like yourselves and like Nathan, we can actually help them do that part, which they don't always have time to do.
It is more time consuming. People don't realize, especially if you're going to go out and actively, go find buyers and do the work. It's work. It's not,
Hey, Nath, how many hours a day do you work?
Well, so a standard week, and this is probably a quieter week, it's probably 65 hours a week. If I'm really burning the candle at both ends, it could get up to about 80 hours. It's a 24/7 job.
100%.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. And
100%. And you're doing it. And you're doing it from the other side of the world. And I imagine, like us, most of the inbound demand and most of the, most of the buyers are US based or, some Europe, but very little. It's primarily the United States market. It's the venture capital driven market. And so I imagine, you're working late hours and early hours and it's nonstop. It's nonstop. And
6 days a week because, the Saturday morning, our Saturday morning is the back end of, the Friday.
Totally.
And then Sunday, so I'm always working on a Sunday as well. Generally Sunday night going over the stuff that I haven't, that I haven't got to because I always find that you're consistently chasing your tail when you work, with such large volume and names because there's people always coming back, new offers. So you're just 100%. circling. But, it's worth it when you close deals, right?
Oh, and good. Do you use a third party CRM or do you use basically the above platform for your brokerage?
Yeah, a bit of both. So we've built our own platform for most of the lead generation. We are using a third party CRM as well to assist, which is being. Yeah, we've used it for quite some time. We've tried different ones, and I think we've now finally fine-tuning the one we're using, and that's actually, pretty good.
I dig it, man. Well, hey, we appreciate the struggle, the effort, what I'm saying? It's all part of, but it's not as bad as that time. Hey, no week, though, will be as bad as the time you got stuck on the tarmac in Dubai when you landed with your family. I remember you telling me that story during the floods, the recent floods, and when Dubai flooded.
Yep.
You landed. How long were you guys on a plane?
So the standard flight from Melbourne to Dubai is about, anywhere from, say, 14 to, say, 15 and a half, roughly, I think. So we were sitting. So in total, we spent about 22 and a half hours on the plane.
Oh.
So it was like six or seven. maybe between 6 and 7.5 hours on the tarmac in Dubai at two different airports with a baby. So with a baby that was probably 8 months old and a 4 year old. And then it gets better. So we get in there. We missed our connecting flight to Glasgow because my wife's Scottish. And then we spent 30 hours in the terminal with no support. Like, you know, it was special. That's the only way I could.
Dude, I wouldn't have made it. I've been out. I'm like, what happened to him? Oh, he got caught in the, he's somewhere still buried under the terminal. So forget it.
Well, I will say, I thought it was
the end joke was at least he had a chance to swim in Dubai, which not many people have.
No doubt. All right. Well, look, on that note, listen, guys, very much appreciated. Any last parting thoughts? I know you mentioned, you've got the cost price on the domain renewals and transfers. I think that's super important for people to know. And then you've got the 3% now on the brokerage side, on the marketplace side. So that's also super awesome. Anything else as far as parting thoughts before we close out here?
I think that's been pretty good. So yeah. I think the only thought is, when are we going to see your portfolio move to above? I think that's the only question, right?
Well, definitely. So here's the thing. I've got some notes here. I know I've told Jody that we're going to talk about it. We've passed some emails back and forth, but
yeah,
we've got domains. We're trying to figure out how to best monetize them, and let's find out
the ones with traffic, and we'll work on those, and the ones that don't, focus on your sales. That's what you're good at, guys. Keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's absolutely an opportunity.
We're trying to do some deals together. I think it's time.
I think we should too. I 100% agree. I see, you guys get some great names that, some great generics, like a tomorrow.com type of thing, or a late.com that I think we should collaborate on. And I'm sure we've got lots of names that you've got buyers that, are at least worthy of pitching to. So, I don't like working with all brokers, because most are wankers, but I like you.
Look, you made the non-wanker list. Congratulations.
Yeah. That's what Drew, for tomorrow,
didn't I say, what did I say? It was 2.5, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Just blowing up. Price of a brick going up as we talk. Yeah.
We'd love to collaborate.
There's the DNX piece as well. So, I think there's a number of things. And again, I've been having conversations with Jody for a minute. We've just to, not just to get you guys on the show, but also to see where there are opportunities for us to do some stuff together. Let's use this as a catalyst for that. Always a great unintended consequence. Awesome.
Thanks, JT.
Came on here for biz.
As always. Are you guys going to any other conferences coming up? In Sweden?
You going to Nordic?
Yeah, we will not be in Nordic Domain Days, although...
I'll be away. I'm traveling. I'm headed to Maldives.
Oh, happy tough life.
It's a tough
What's
life.
The next one? Is it Dubai is the next one, maybe?
Next, yeah. You got
and then after that is
London. You got London as well.
When's London?
Domain Summit.
Yeah.
When is that?
I'm not sure. I don't book for that one as yet. So we're not sure about that one.
Yeah, we'll take a look at Domain Summit, and then some of us will be at NamesCon. I don't know if Drew's going to make that, but we'll definitely, a few of us.
I really want to be at NamesCon. I think NamesCon, I think this is like finding its home in Miami is probably the right place. I think that's going to be great, and I really want to be there, and I'm hoping I can, but I'm not sure if it's going to work out because some personal stuff.
He's a very important, busy guy, what I'm saying? So we're just doing our best to try to get any kind of FaceTime we can,
struggle.
But
done.
Yeah.
All right. Once again, guys, absolute pleasure. Appreciate it.
Heavy is the head and wears the crown. All right. Hey, real quick. So Dave, Nathan, thank you so much. Andrew, as always, thank you so much to the audience. Really quick on my closing as we do, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Definitely, none of us are hard to find, including the above folks, above.com. So definitely, hit them up if any of this stuff is interesting or you guys want more information or all that good, bad, ugly. We are not hard to find. Thank you so much for tuning in. Without you, there is no us. I say it on every show. Otherwise, thank you to my guests and co-hosts for being here today. And we'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, y'all.
Cheers, everyone. Take care.
Cheers.